The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. At Christmas this year, someone gave me a book, a small book, a simple book, that is entitled Deathbed Conversions, People Who Enter the Church at the Very End of Their Life. And one of the stories is about a famous author by the name of Oscar Wilde, who lived a very sordid past. And Oscar Wilde, right before dying, he called in a priest, made a confession, was anointed, and we believe is in heaven. One of the things that he said, this man who had a very sinful past, said this. He said, "Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future." Every saint has a past. Every single saint did things that they look back and they say, "Gosh, I wish I hadn't done that." But what did they do? At some point in their life, they said, "You know what? I don't want to live that way anymore. Lord, I'm going to follow you with all my heart." And he said, "And every sinner has a future." At what moment does a sinner begin to journey towards sainthood? The moment they repent, the moment they say, "Heavenly Father, forgive me for living this way." And this is the purpose of Ash Wednesday, so that anybody who right now in their life is not on the path of sainthood, they say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to get on that path." And those who are already on that path, they say, "Okay, you know what? There are certain obstacles that I am not journeying as swiftly as I could toward you, Lord." 40 days from now, every single one of us should be able to look back and say, "My life has changed. I am not who I was 40 days ago. There has been growth in my life." And so when we choose, "Gosh, what am I going to do this year for Lent?" we should choose those things that are going to lead to a transformation of life. Can I share with you my favorite penance that I've ever heard anybody do? When I was in the seminary, there was this one seminarian, and he thought he was going to get to heaven all by himself. He didn't even need God's help. Right? And he would do these severe penances and fasting and all these vigils. And so right before Lent, he goes to his spiritual director and he says, "Father, can you help me decide what I should do this year for Lent?" Now this guy, who thought he was going to get to heaven alone, even without God's grace, he oftentimes would look around at other seminarians. And he was very judgmental and critical, constantly, "Oh my gosh, look at what that guy's doing. How could he be? You know, why is he in the seminary?"
So he sits down with his spiritual director. He says, "Father, can you help me decide what I should do?" And he said, "Father, this is what I'm thinking." And it was more fasting and greater penances and longer vigils. And his spiritual director said, "This is what I would like you to do for Lent. I want you to eat dessert at every meal of the day. Because we would all eat in common." And he says, "You are forbidden from telling anybody that that is what you are doing for Lent. You're not even to allude to it." So that all the seminaries all through Lent, they're looking at this guy and being like, "Oh my gosh, right? It's Lent? That's weird. I can't believe you're eating dessert." And as he journeyed through Lent, all of a sudden, there was this change of heart where he stopped looking at others and judging them. Where he wasn't critical of all the things that they were doing, because he realized you never know the intention in another person's heart and why they are doing what they are doing. Our Lord gives three hallmarks. He says prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And at least every adult, when they decide, "What am I going to do this year for Lent?" should do something that touches on each one of those. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And I'm just going to go through those very quickly. For prayer, these are some of the things people have shared with me that they are doing this year. "Father, I'm going to go to Holy Mass every day, daily Mass this year for Lent. Father, I have not had the rosary as part of my spiritual practices. I'm going to pray the rosary daily for Lent. Father, in our home, our family never prays together. So for Lent, we are going to have family prayer every night. A decade of the rosary together as a family. Father, my wife and I never pray together. So we're going to have prayer as a couple this year through Lent." One businessman said, "Father, you know what? I'm busy. I feel like I have so many obligations. I don't make time for prayer. I'm going to come to the church every day for 15 minutes to kneel before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament." We transform, or are transformed above all, by time with our Lord. So prayer, fasting. Sometimes we think that fasting only relates to food or to beverages. I had one person say to me, "Father, I'm going to get up earlier every day so that I can pray, so that I am going to bed earlier. And I know that if I go to bed earlier, my entire life will change. Father, this year for Lent, I'm going to exercise. What is most holding me back spiritually is that I'm so physically unfit. Father, this year for Lent, I'm not making enough time for my family. We're going to have home-cooked meals for Lent this year." A married man, busy businessman, husband, father. "Father, for Lent this year, I'm going to spend time every week with one of my children. I'm going to do something special with each one of my kids at least once a week." Almsgiving. Sometimes we think giving alms pertains only to our finances. But it is simply the giving of ourselves. I had someone say, "Father, there are relatives of mine whom I'm never in touch with. And so for Lent this year, at least once a week, I'm going to contact them. Father, my grandfather is in a nursing home. I'm going to visit him once a week for Lent. Father, I had an abortion when I was a young woman. This year for Lent, I'm going to visit the abortion clinic once a week to witness to life." I close with this. Whatever we decide to do, let us first bring it to our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that you call me to be converted. What do you ask me to do this year for Lent? Reveal to my heart that which will lead to the greatest transformation. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.